Father, we want to thank you as we stand together. You said when we stand praying, forgive anybody if we have ought against anybody. So we pray, we release our faith to forgive people of anything they've said against us or try to harm us in any way. We release them. We ask you, Father, forgive those people. And we ask you to forgive us for any infractions, any sins, anything that we are doing, that we've noticed that we've been doing, that you've brought to our mind. We ask you, Father, forgive us in the name of Jesus. And we pray that we will be people of faith and people who are faithful to you and loyal to you and loyal to your people. And we pray in the name of Jesus, as we release ourselves, we pray the prayer of submission and dedication to you. And that we pray, Father, thy will be done. We pray, have my whole heart, my whole spirit, soul, and body. And whatever you want to say to me this morning, this service. And I pray that I'd be corrected in my mind. I will not get mad or angry, but I'm going to listen to you, Lord. I'm going to listen to what you have to say to me. I'll give you praise, Father, for all that you've done in my life. I thank you that I'm on my way to heaven, and I thank you that my children are coming with me and my friends and family, and I pray that I'm going to reach everyone that I need to reach today, everyone that I need to talk to today to tell them about you. So we thank you, Lord God. Send people in our path that we would talk to, that we would minister life to the Word of God. So we thank you in the name of Jesus, and everybody said amen. Praise God. All right, turn in your Bibles with me, please. We're going to try to encourage you this morning. I guess we shouldn't say try. I'm going to encourage you, the Word of God will, to talk about how to have you to develop yourself, your faith life. And so I talked about that a couple of times. I'm going to share with you again some word. So we talked about small, great, or no faith at all. And so we talked about that. And some people have great faith. You know, sometimes you see people, Jesus talked about the centurion. He had great faith, you know. And we talked about someone, the disciples, they were with Jesus for so many years and traveling with Jesus. And Jesus said sometimes they had little faith, you know, in something. There's a time they said they had no faith at all. And so it's funny, how can you have little or great faith and all of a sudden you have none? You don't have any. And so I want to talk to you about that to help you and assist you in your development and how to believe God. You know, some people are having a hard time with, they don't know how to get themselves out of trouble when it comes to different things. So this is, when I was in Bible school, Brother Hagin taught us, our founding, president of the Bible school that we attended, he said, you know, if I was a pastor, I'd teach faith at least once a month, you know, to people. And so I try to do that. I don't always do it, but tonight, this morning I'm going to talk to you about it. And so it's called, topic is faith development. So let's go to Romans chapter 4 and verse 19 and 20. We're going to read from the scriptures there, verse 19 and 20 of Romans chapter 4. It's talking about Abraham, our father of faith. And Abraham here is being spoken of. So let's go pick it up in verse 19. We might go back to other verses later on. It says about Abraham and being not weak in faith. I want you to notice the term, everyone in here, not weak in faith. Let's go say not weak in faith. So we see that Abraham, not weak in faith. He considered not his own body. What did he do? He considered not his own body, now dead. When he was about 100 years old, when he says now dead, he's referring to his physical reproduction. Like he was not physically dead. He's just saying that his reproductive system was not functional the way a young man would be. And so he was about 100 years old. And neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, neither did he consider his own physical inability to reproduce, but he also had to consider his wife's reproduction system as well. So sometimes I said in life that when we're believing God for something, we're not only we have to believe from our standpoint, but we have to believe with people that are around us, our loved ones, our husbands and wives sometimes are not believing the way we want them to be or the way they should be, perhaps. And so it says there about Sarah's womb. Notice this other term, he staggered not. Everybody say staggered not. He staggered not at the promise of God. What is the promise of God? The promise of God is the Bible, or what God had said. You know, the Bible is what God said, and what God said in there is also a promise to us. So we can see here it says that he staggered not at the promise of God. And what does it say here? Though through unbelief. So he didn't, you know, the word unbelief is actually related to the word stagger. And so when you're having unbelief, you're actually going and from one, how would you say that, one opinion to another opinion. It means to have double-minded, to be double-minded. So he staggered not. One day he's in, one day he's out. One day he's doing good, one day he's not doing good. And one day, whoop, whoop, hooray, God is for me. One day, oh, where's God? I don't know where he is. You know, I don't know, has anybody ever been staggering at one time or another in their life? Okay, sometimes we've done that, you know. So that's called staggering. Staggering is not being consistent. So he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And I just want to mention something about unbelief. You know, there's two kinds of unbelief that we should be aware of. First of all, unbelief comes when we have a lack of information about what God's promises are. Okay, are you here? So unbelief comes when you've never been taught the promises of God. You don't know what the promises of God. So you can't have faith for something. You would actually be in an unbelief if you're going to try to do something, because you wouldn't know what the promise of God. The promises of God is what sustains us when we make the choices. We have something to stand on. We have a foundation to stand on. That's why Pastor Ken teaches a course called Foundation, so that you can believe God on a very a strong level when you start off in the faith. So everybody who joins our fellowship, we put you into actually six sessions, our 12 lessons on faith foundations. We teach you how to stand on your faith. We teach you how to pray. We teach you how to believe God, how to have faith for healing, how to have faith in your life, how to do different things, you know, how to stand against the enemy. So we teach you those facets of life that you all need. So notice that he staggered on the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Notice the term strong in faith. Everybody say strong in faith. Come on, let's say that one more time. Say strong in faith. Say, come on, just emphasize. Say strong in faith. Amen. So strong, you know, strong is opposite of weak. And we saw that Abraham wasn't, he wasn't weak, but he was strong in faith. I want you to notice in this verses of scripture we just read, or just these two verses of scripture, notice that Abraham had a choice. He made a choice not to be weak in faith. And notice that he made a choice to be strong in faith. I would venture to say right now that you have a choice at this moment to be strong in faith about anything that the Bible promises you, that you're standing on. If you're believing God for a loved one to come home, if you're believing God for your healing, if you're believing God to maybe perhaps go to take a job in another country or something that you're believing God to do, a project perhaps. And so you have a choice, but you're going to have to go to the promises of God to get there. And you have to not neglect the Word of God in your life. So Abraham here, as we see, he had a choice. And you and I have a choice to be weak in faith or to be strong in faith or to have no faith at all. And we have to understand that it's up to us to have great faith in an area of our lives. You know, some people are strong with finances. Some people are weak with healing. And some people are weak in the area of projects or something, trying new things. Maybe they're strong in evangelism or something. But we all need to develop ourselves in different areas of our lives. And we need to go to the promises of God for each one of those areas in our lives. Nothing is automatic, you know. Nothing is automatic. Nothing just comes, you know, because you're a Christian, you're born again. Now you know how to pray automatically, you know. You know how to stand, you know, strong when troubles come. Everyone has to make those choices. And so I want to encourage you today to learn how to be a person of strong faith. Let's go to Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, that is, chapter 1 and verse 3. I want you to notice something about these Thessalonians. They were people just like you and me, and the Bible puts this forward for us so that we can understand. Paul is talking to the Thessalonians. He says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. So he, you know, brethren, he's talking to the Christian people. As it is meet, because that your faith growed exceedingly. He's telling them that their faith is growing exceedingly. It's rapidly growing and it's growing stronger. Amen. I would like to have exceeding faith this morning. Amen. About different things. Amen. And how many people know just because you got great faith doesn't mean you can push that off on somebody else? If you got great faith, you can't just give some to somebody else. Amen. You say, come on here, I'm going to inject you with some of my faith. I want to lay hands on you. And you can't do that. That's not possible for you to do that. You can encourage people. So he says their faith grows exceedingly. I want you to notice that phrase, but also that their love or their charity, the word charity is the King James uses the word charity or the love of God, and they translated that in there as charity, which is the love of God, agape love of God that's growing. The love grows into us in our lives. We grow. How many people that you're more loving than you were when you first became a Christian? I'm glad. Are you glad? You know, we can be pretty mean with some change even, right, sometimes. So towards every one of us, it says in there. So these people here were able to grow immensely, and their love for one another was also growing. And if they can grow, you and I can grow. Yeah. And so what's in the scriptures is applicable for us. So the God's Word translation uses the term your faith growing exceedingly. God's Word translation says your faith is showing remarkable growth. Amen. A remarkable growth. I wish somebody would say, man, your faith is growing remarkable. I went to the dentist on Friday. Was it Friday? And then I went to the dentist. And I've been visiting the dentist for quite a while last year, 15 months. And orthodontist actually had a morning session, and then I had an afternoon with my other doctor, the other dentist, the regular dentist, you know. And so the orthodontist looked in my mouth, my teeth, because they did some surgery in my gum and transplanted some bone from the back here, put it in the front. And so that took a lot of long process. So he looked at my gum and said all this, and he said, you know, did anybody ever tell you, you have beautiful gums? I said, no, not really. You're the first one. He said, I just want to let you know that. So I'm telling you that I have beautiful gums right now. At least in that section. So anyway, I thought you might like that little humor. So we got to say that because these people, God's Word translation says, Your faith is showing remarkable growth. And I think we should look at ourselves and assess our own selves and make some determination whether or not we're growing in some areas of our lives. I think it's important for us to do that. So my message here this morning really hinges, at least, or just, what I wanted to say to you would be everyone's faith can excel. So there's no one here that can say, you know, I can't grow as strong as you. I can't develop like you. I need to develop myself. I have to grow strong in my faith life. So it says everyone's faith can grow. God has placed the faith life, this faith in all of us. God has put faith inside of you when you were born again. And so he God is not unjust. He's not going to get you to ask you to walk by faith. You notice the scriptures that talks about in there, you know, Galatians 3:11 says, you know, the just shall live by faith. How many people know that, the scripture? Let's pull that scripture up, Galatians 3:11. Notice that, Galatians 3:11, if you'd go there. I'm just kind of getting off my notes, but I need to insert that right here. Galatians 3:11 should be coming up right now. There it is. So, but that no man is justified by the law. He's talking about, you know, being accepted by God and being right with God. How many people know that you cannot be right with God by just acting on your own merit? You cannot achieve righteousness with God by helping little old ladies cross the street. We always say stuff like that, you know, but you can't just be righteous with God because you give a lot of money to the ministry. You can't be righteous with God because you pray all day long, right? And you certainly can't be righteous by God, with God by performing ritualistic religious activity. You know, when we see ritualistic activity in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and then even over in the New Testament when they were trying to practice being right with God, the Bible says that no one can be righteous, accepted by God, only by the sacrifice of Jesus and his blood. Jesus is the actual symbol of all the ritualistic practices that was done before. The lamb, the blood, the incense, all that stuff, all everything, even the purple, the sanctuary that they were built in the Old Testament, everything about the Old Testament was talking about Jesus. It points to Jesus. And that's why they said, you know, when Jesus came walking down the road the prophet said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, right? Who takes away the sins of the world." You're talking about Jesus. That's the Lamb of God. And the Lamb they suffered in the Old Testament when they were leaving, in Exodus. Remember that? Over in Exodus when they were leaving, exiting Egypt. And took a lamb for a house. And so that lamb was Jesus. It's symbolic of Jesus. And when they took the lamb, applied the lamb, the blood to the doorpost, symbolizing the cross, and the Bible says as they took the lamb, they were healed. They were delivered and they walked away. And that was a picture of our salvation. That's a picture of us. And so here's that no one is justified by the law, the Ten Commandments or any other commandments. You can't be right with God by following any law. That you got to do something to get right with God. You can't just do something to be right with God per se to earn your righteousness with God. Jesus did it all. Can you say Jesus did it all?
Jesus did it all.
So he don't need you. That's why it says in Matthew 8:17 that says himself, amen, took our infirmity. He didn't need you to suffer for your sin. I remember years ago my mom, you know, when she was not taught, she said, "Oh, I'm suffering for this, you know." She would tell me she was suffering, but then again, her theology was a little bit wrong because we had to work this out. But she loved Jesus. She came to Christ. Let's go back there again. The law, no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, for it is evident that just to live by faith. So if God says we should live by faith, then we ought to know what faith is all about. And I'm teaching a course right now at Bible school. And we talked about the three ABCs of faith. Number one, what is faith? What can you define it? What is that faith? What is faith? So if God says we have to walk by faith, live by faith, so what is that faith? Secondly, we have to know how to get it. How do you get faith? Everybody can access faith for anything in their lives. And then three, how to use your faith. Can you tell when you're using faith for believing God for a loved one to come home? How do you do that? So you have to know how to release your faith, how to use your faith, if you want to get the result. And sometimes we don't know that, so we're trying to teach the basics. And so then there's another scripture in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. Let's go to Romans 1:17. I'm just giving kind of the background here a little bit so that people understand. It says here, "For therein the righteousness of God is revealed. From faith to faith, it is written, the just shall live by faith." So everyone who is justified by the blood of Jesus became righteous by faith, by the blood. We shall live by faith. We don't walk by philosophy or traditions. We walk by faith. We don't walk by how we feel, although it's a narrow road. Narrow road. Let's go to this letter of script. Go to Hebrews 10:38. These are consistent. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. We're going to see this word again. This is the second one we see here. It says, "Now the just shall live by faith." Again, these are all in our New Testament. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And if that's, if you just leave the faith life and quote unquote do your own thing, God's not. He's not pleased with that. You know, and the next chapter, in the 11th chapter, in verse 6, he says that it's faith that pleases God. It's when we obey God and we follow him and do what he says to do in life, then that pleases God. Amen? And so those are three scriptures. I can give you a little bit more, but we want to go back to our lesson so that you can see, I mean, this is part of the lesson. So everyone's faith can grow. Everyone can develop in our faith life, in our daily walk with God. God wants us to obey, him as we follow along in his plan that he has for us. You know, God has a plan for everyone. We don't have to remain in the dark concerning anything about the promises of God. That we can have faith for whatever we need to have faith for. So God gives us the promises so that we can stand on those promises and go and follow through on it. So Romans 4, 16 to 21, we have an example here of making that choice. We see that in Abraham, either to have weak faith or to have strong faith. Great faith, it's a great faith chapter, and it takes us in the... Let's go to Romans, let's go read Romans 4, 16 here for a second. Go back to Romans 4 and 16. So if you're following with us, we're going to go to verse 21. So therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promises be sure to all the seed, not only to which of the law, but also which is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. The next verse. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. God promises them that God promised that over in Genesis that you'll be a father of many nations. That's what he's talking about here. And before him, or the word before him, if you look in my King James Bible, it has a little mark on there at the end of, underneath. It gives me the interpretation of, in the original language. The word before him is mean like unto God. In other words, that Abraham acted like God did, and we should all act like the way God, because we're God's children. And God's children believe with the heart, and we believe what we say. It comes to pass, whatever it is we're believing God for. So before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, he believed that. God quickens the dead, makes alive, and calls those things which be not as though they were. And so many times in our lives, we're calling things as it is, not as though they were according to the word of God. So when we say things, when we keep saying things about our lives the way it actually appears to be, the way it is, then we're not going to change. We have to change our tune. We have to change our tune and say, you know, here's what God's word says. Yes, I'm sick right now. Yes, I'm taking medication. I'm going to the doctor. But I believe the word of God says this, and I'm accepting that as my final destination about it, what he says in our lives. And so verse 18 says, who against hope believed in hope. In other words, natural hope. This against hope, this is, human hope. Human hope doesn't take you very far, but supernatural, godly hope is confident expectation. That word there, second word, is confident expectation. Confident expectation means that, you know, I'm confident I'm going to get that over there. But, human hope is like, hey, it might be, it might not be, but I'm hoping. It's not very confident. But in God, we have confident hope that, I'm in this situation, but I know I'm coming out of it. It's going to just take some time a little bit. I'm just going to have to kind of go through some little bit of struggle here, but I'm getting that. I have it now in my heart, and I'm getting that. That's why you need hope in your heart first, right? You got to have hope, and then your faith grabs a hold of that hope and brings it back, brings it into reality. And so that he might become the father of many nations, that's what he was doing. Because he was all, we just read about Abraham and how he was. According to which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 19, and being now weak in faith, we saw this verse. He considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, he staggered not to the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded, How did he get fully persuaded? He got fully persuaded because he looked at the promises of God. When you, as a person of God, are believing for something, if you keep looking at the circumstances, your faith will dwindle. If you keep looking at what the doctor said, And what's going to happen to you, eventually your faith will dwindle. If you keep looking at the numbers, your faith will dwindle. If you're looking at how much it's going to cost you and how much you have to do about it, you're going to go down. So, and being fully persuaded, why was he fully persuaded? The Bible said he was fully persuaded because of the promises of God. And you and I right now can be fully persuaded about anything that we need in our lives by going to the promises of God and say, this is what God says about me. Amen? You have to look at the Word of God and say, this is what God says about me. I'm sticking with that. I'm believing God. This is my destiny. Can you lift your hand and say, thank God? Amen. Come on, guys. Some of you guys need to wake up out there. Amen. Come on, Frankie. Frankie, look. That's right. I'm talking to you. You're a Bible school student. Open your eyes. Okay. Okay, your eyes are open. I'm just kidding you. Okay, so he was fully persuaded what he had promised. He was able also to perform. In other words, when God says something, we have to be convinced that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And the only way you get confident in that is continue to look at the Word of God. Okay? The more you take your eyes off the Word of God, the weaker you'll become. So you don't want to have weak faith. You want to have strong faith. And so serious Christians need to see to it that their faith continues to grow. That faith is not a mysterious subject, that we can understand faith. We can know what faith is. We can know how to get it. We can know how to use it in our lives. It's not so spiritual that the average person can't understand in the kingdom of God. Even the newest person in Christ can grow. Our faith needs to be vital. And it also needs to be revitalized. Sometimes, you know, you kind of let yourself slide. And we get off somewhere, we're not using our faith. If you're not using your faith, find a project and start believing. Stick with me. Let's believe with me for more partners or something. Say, I'm believing with, you know, just say, I'm believing God for more partners, you know, for pastor. So we need to be vital and revitalized. You can't stay in one place spiritually and still be strong. You need to continue to grow. You need to continue to be renewed. You need to continue to be challenged. You know, people who don't have a job, they got no place to go tomorrow morning. They get depressed. They lose faith. Everybody needs something to do. We all need something to do. We just can't just, you know, okay, tomorrow I'm going to clean my house. So we all need to clean our house. Everybody, right? Tomorrow I'm going to shave and wash my hair. Well, we all need to do that. But there are other projects we need to do in our lives. We need to find something to do for His kingdom. Amen? You say, well, I don't, you know, I have a job, you know, I got money coming in. Well, go find a job and help me get the money to me so I can get more partners. Amen? You got to find something to do. Revitalize your spiritual life. So, turn to your neighbor and say, tell them to feed your faith. We have to. The only way to get strong is to have to feed your faith. And so you feed your faith. You get strong in faith by doing two things. Number one, you feed your faith. How do you do that? You get to God's promises on any subject area that you're being weakened or that you're being challenged in. Ask yourself, and you're being challenged in any area, ask yourself, what does God's Word say about this situation in my life right now? What does the promise of God say in relation to this subject that I'm facing right now? Tell yourself that. Whenever you find a problem, don't just run to your friend right away. Find out what God's Word said first. And then tell your friend, you know what God says about my situation? Here's what He says. Praise God, I'm going to live a long life. And I'm prosperous. Amen. And you don't have any money in your pocket. So thank God I'm prosperous. Amen. You got to say you're prosperous when you don't have any money. Be like Abraham. Say, thank God I have lots of friends. You only have a little teddy bear back there. So you must feed your faith and you must exercise your faith. What are we talking about, exercise? It means you must learn to demonstrate your faith. You must learn to keep your confession in line with God's Word. You must sing about the promises of God. You must say things that is positively accurate in things of what God says about you. So that's exercising your faith. Some people are literally starving. They've been starving in faith. They don't pick up the Bible. They don't read anything. They don't listen to anything. They just kind of sit there, and they don't do anything except, you know, wait for the next service. We have to feed our faith. So you can't just feed your faith, just anything. You got to feed yourself the Word of God, the Word of living God. So we've read some of these translations here the last time we're together. So in God's family, we all have common faith. Over here in Titus chapter 1, let's go to Titus chapter 1. It says, to Titus, my own son, after the common faith. So every Christian has this common faith inside of them. We all have this common faith. So grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say common faith. So we all have this. Everybody has this common faith. We all share this common faith as God's children. God equips every one of us with a faith to follow his plan, his purposes, and his will. He doesn't give some people 40% of faith. He doesn't give somebody like 60%. He don't give you 10% or 15%. You just say, well, he's got stronger faith in healing. He's got a stronger faith in believing God for finances or whatever. Well, admittedly, there are some people that start off a little bit better off than some in life, but we still can grow. Amen? So here's what 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Like precious faith means similar, the common faith. We all have this common faith. We all have the same faith that God has given to each one of us. Amen. We have this. And so it's important to realize that, you know, you can develop and grow. That you have the same faith as great men and women of God had faith in. And just a common faith that they were able to develop, they were able to grow and to use that faith and make it grow so that they could do different things for God. So we have to understand that we have this like precious faith. This faith is precious. Especially if you're, you know, 38 years old, a doctor says you're going to die in 6 months. That faith is precious to you. Amen? That faith is precious to you and to your family because you can believe God to get out of this situation. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says that people believe God to come out of, to not die. They escape the edges of the sword, the lion's mouth, and so forth and so on. There's something in the 1 Corinthians Paul talks about. This is something a little bit different I'm going to mention to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So everybody, I just wanted to let you know, everybody has this precious faith. Everyone in this room right now has the same faith. And you can choose to develop to be strong, or you can choose not to, or choose not to have it at all. And then you can't blame God. You say, well, God wanted to take me. God took him. They say, you know, when somebody dies, God took him. Well, he had to take you because nobody else would. But, you know, because you had to die, right? Some people die. I had a brother. He was only 52 years old, a lot younger than I am right now, and he died of cancer. I tried for year after 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 year. I said, bro, come on, let's go to the Bible study. Let's pray together. Let's do this. Oh, no, I'm going to bingo tonight. My wife wants me to go to bingo. And I stopped by for him. Hey, you know, come, I'll pick you up for church. And, oh, no, I can't go. I'm too busy. One day he walks in my office. He said, bro, I got cancer. And for years I talked to him. And the Lord said to me, no, don't pray for him. You can't pray for him. You're not going to get him out of this in your prayer. Your prayer is not going to make any difference to him. I've been dealing with your brother for a while. And he failed to develop himself. And so they want a miracle, my prayer or our prayer to change them right that second. They want me to do what he should have been doing for 6 years or 10 years. Now he needs a miracle. When he could have been developing in his life, or actually taking care of himself too. Because when you come to church, you got to take care of yourself. You got to learn to sleep and eat right and get along with people. Because you can't just not get along with people and expect to be healthy in faith. You can't hold grudges and be in strife and anger and expect God's promises to come true for you because you short-circuit your own faith life. And so what happened to him? Well, he died. He's only 62 years old. My mom died of cancer. My brother was 52. My mom was 68, I believe it was. Yeah, 68. And she died. And I remember praying for her before, and she did get healed. And we prayed. It was a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. And God took that away instantly as a baby Christian. And now it's years have gone by, never developed, never did anything. Now she's sick back again, and now they want to do the same thing like they did last time. But God expects all of us to grow. He wants you to grow up. You know, if you had a kid, it's 5 years old. You don't expect them to be acting, running around like you see just some little kids running around here. If I saw Bronson doing that over here, I said, Bronson, what's wrong with you? You're a young adult. And those little kids running around, and those kids, they don't know anything. They just want to run around and have fun, right? But if Pastor Ken did it, we'd say, hey, what's wrong with you? Huh? You ought to know better than that. So thank God we can grow and develop. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Okay, I got about 4 or 5 minutes left. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. Let's go to this. But the manifestation of the Spirit. Everybody say the manifestation. Manifestation. That means, what they call the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are called the manifestation. And there's only 4 gifts in the manifestation. The rest are administrations and operations. Ever notice that? That's why you can abuse gifts because you can prophesy, pretend you're prophesying or prophesying. If people don't know better, they don't know what prophesying is. And prophesying, anybody in this room right now, every single person, you can get up and prophesy right now. You can just prophesy, and it's a gift of the Spirit. You can use that gift to tell something, to proclaim the goodness of God and how good God is and how awesome He is, and we'll all be lifted up together. Everybody here can do it. And you can all get up one by one or all together and start praying in tongues right now because it's a gift of God. As if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. But if you all jump up once in a while, somebody jumps up and all of a sudden you start predicting the future. And you start talking about the past and you say different things. Now that's prophecy with word of wisdom, word of knowledge. That'd be different. You can't do that by yourself. You can't just give someone a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge on your own. It has to be an operation of the Spirit of God. Amen. You can't know the future. You can't know something about someone's past unless they told you something. Only the Spirit can do that. You can only do that when the operation of the Spirit is in manifestation. To talk about the future. Only God can see the future, and the Holy Spirit only can give you that. And so, but if you give prophecy with extra information, then that's you're going into another gift as well. So you ever notice that if you're ministering to the sick, we can minister healing with the gift of faith, but also there's other operations as well. People sometimes need more than the gift of faith in operation. Because the gift of faith can't always heal someone instantly or do something to that person right away because they have to develop in their faith. You need the working of miracles in operation or the gift of faith in operation. And so here's something he says here about the gift of faith. Let's look at it over here for a second. We're going to close here in a few minutes. Don't worry, you'll catch a bus. If you're not, Pastor Ken said he would do it. He'd drive you home. And drive you through to Timmy's. Let's go with this. Okay, so the manifestation, it says, of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. To one is given by the Spirit to every man means that everyone can have this if God should see fit. We'll see here. But to one is given by the Spirit a word of wisdom. What is the word of wisdom? Again, that's That's a prophetic word about future events. Word of wisdom. To another, word of knowledge. That's word of knowledge is something God will show, reveal something in your life that is happening right now or happened in the past. That's what word of knowledge is. To another, working of miracles. That's something that can be only done that's not normal operations of our faith. This is more than our faith life. So to another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. That's seeing into the realm of the spirits, demons, Holy Spirit, or angelic beings. That's what it's talking about. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. This is not your regular prayer language. This is about interpretation of tongues, speaking different dialects, speaking somebody's language in a way that would astound someone, that how did you ever learn that? Well, it's a gift of the Spirit. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all these work at that one in the self-same Spirit, divine to every man as he will. Notice it says in here, to another, faith by the same Spirit. God gives this gift of faith. Can you go, which verse is that? Verse 9? Notice this. This is not talking about the faith that we walk by faith every day. This is not the faith that you walk by. You don't need this gift to walk by faith every day. You don't need this gift to have your prayers answered. Because God is telling everybody that your prayers can be answered. Long as it's in line with God's will and His word. His word is His will. This is called special faith. This is special. You ever notice we said, some stores have specials, right? You know, right? And if you go there the day they don't have the special, then they say, you can't have it. So why? Because it was on special faith yesterday. It was on special faith. The sale was on yesterday, special. I went there the other day, and I had a little coupon one time. I was going to buy something. They said, no, you can't use this. That's last month's. I want to buy a jacket. A winter one, nice one. It's like the one you have. Gift of faith, another faith. So you don't need this kind of faith for just normal your Christian life. This is something that God will see that, you know, He says in that verse 11, He'll divide all these manifestations, all these gifts, severally as He wills. Only God determines when He would use that. But, and talk about our general faith, God wants us to use our faith every single day. So I have to stop here now. Let's go ahead and stand up together. And we want to praise God and thank Him for His goodness. Thank Him for His mercy. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Lord, we want to thank you today that we can get together and understand this is a good place to worship you. It's a good place to honor you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to walk by faith. Thank you, Jesus. As we're closing here, I want to read the scriptures. Mark chapter 4, verse 37 and 40 says, there was a great wind, a storm of wind that the waves beat into the ship, and so it was now full. They were in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Or Jesus was. And they wake him and they said to him, Master, carest thou not we perish? I think everybody would say here today, you're asking the Lord, Lord, don't you care about what's happening in my life? He does care. And Jesus arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto him, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? He talked to the disciples, his own people here. They heard him preach, they saw him minister. And he talked to the very people that should have faith. And he said, how come you don't have faith? And God is talking to each one of you today, asking you, why are you so fearful? Why is it that you don't have faith for that area over there? You have a choice to be fearful. Psalm 23rd Psalm says, I will fear no evil. Jesus said, do not be afraid. Each one of you right now can either have great faith and believe and trust the promises of God. Look at the promises of God. Choose to look there instead of your symptoms, instead of your situation. Or you can look at the waves, so to be. The wind. All the turmoil that's happening in your life. You can choose to look at that and get weaker and weaker until you have no faith. You have a decision to make right now to say, God, I'm going to stand on your promises. I'm going to look at your word until it becomes so big in my heart that I can only see your promises. Make that decision today. Make that decision to say, God, I want to look. Everybody close your eyes for a moment. Make that decision in your heart right now. Say, God, I'm looking at your promises. I'm looking at your will. I want this to be so immense in my heart that I only can see your promise. I can see your will and your purpose for my situation. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now for the promise of God that says, I'm going to carry over. I'm not just going to make it. I'm going to be way over the top. I'm not going to be sick forever. I'm not going to have these symptoms forever. I'm not going to be dependent on people forever. I'm going to be independent in the things of God, walking with you. We thank you, Father, in advance. In the name of Jesus, if there's someone here in this service this morning that you've been away from God, you just have to say, Lord, I'm sorry for walking out on you. I want to come back. I put myself in order. I say, forgive me. I'm going to go back. Receive me. In the name of Jesus. Now you're back in. Thank you, Lord. And those of you that are watching online, if you said, Jesus, come in my life. You've never done that. You said, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I accept you as my Lord, my Savior. Jesus, you are my Lord. Now that you're born, the Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now you're saved. You call upon his name. Thank you. Tell somebody about it. Go to a church. Read your Bible. Join a good fellowship that believes the scriptures. And you'll be stronger. Everybody, one more time, lift your hands in the air and begin to bless God together. Can you pray in the Holy Ghost, please? Can you pray in the Holy Tongue? This is a good place to start praising in the Holy Ghost. Pray in tongues. Oh, braki shindema. Oh, namasinde. Mandra kasateshi. Oh, braka sitele me ndoda bakasi. Oh, brade de basite le mana no se. Oh, mana ne shite kerebasa. Dakarabasa tarabasite. Oh, rabakasanda bakarabasa. Go ahead and sing a song. Take a song.